everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast, episode 242. As always, I am one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by the Dracula and Wolfman of L.A., Jesse and Alex.
Actually, I gotta be the Wolfman, right?
I don't know, man. I think you're more cultured.
You think I'm more cultured?
I think you're more of a Dracula.
Yeah? But look at me.
I mean, I can see the argument.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, looks, you've got the Wolfman vibe. But culturally, yeah, I feel like if anyone's gonna hang around at night, flying through windows, biting necks, it's gonna be you.
And you're gonna be popping out of your trousers in the bushes.
Yeah, I'm gonna be bursting out of my pants.
Alex is the half and half one from the Underworld franchise.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I'll be part, what is it? Lycantins? No, what are they called? The Lycans.
Wait, if we get to be movie character vampires, I want to be Deacon Frost.
Oh, dude. See, now he's right back on the vampire
train. I want a blood tornado.
And I'll be the Antonio Banderas. What is the name of that movie? The Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, then I want to be Tom Cruise.
Can I be like Cruise, the Van Helsing of like all the franchises then?
Then we'd have to kill you.
You just want to come kill us?
But like, okay, what if I'm not Van Helsing, but I'm like his second cousin who just wants to sleep with the supernatural?
You're things. No, that's you, that's why you're the creature from the Black Lagoon, because yeah, you're under the water reaching for the titties upside down.
Yes. Oh, well, I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I like.
And he's afraid of fire, so like it all checks out.
And he's made from the body parts of 6 or 7 dead people pulled from their graves.
Right.
Wait, mm-hmm. No, this is not who I want to be. This sounds more and more like I'm a serial killer, like, no, creation.
No, he's actually the one good guy.
Originally, you said, I want to be the Van Helsing of the tale, which is like the most serial killer guy that you could be if you're a vampire.
Well, I've only
Frankenstein is the least killy of all the monsters.
Yeah, he only killed one or two small boys.
I've seen the Van Helsing movie, okay? So, like, you know, I'm thinking about
the Van Helsing movie. I'm going to help you out. It's not going to be accurate to the real literature. Isn't your boy Frankenstein in there? Isn't that Rachel? Fucking
there was a Christian Bale Frankenstein?
No, not Christian Bale. Harvey Dent. What? God.
Oh, he was not Frankenstein, was he?
I think he was in another movie about that was like in the Van Helsing.
Oh, you like Daniel Radcliffe was Igor?
In what?
So Aaron Eckhart was in I, Frankenstein in 2014, where he played the monster.
I forgot about I, Frankenstein.
That's right. Wow. And Bill Nighy plays Nabarius, the demon prince.
And right, also, from Frankenstein. I forgot about the demon prince in the famous story.
Nabarius.
That's like the guy at the Willy Wonka experience that just added this unknown character.
The unknown.
Dude, we're not even at the Miranda Otto is in the movie as Leonore the Gargoyle Queen.
Love it.
And Ivan Strahovski from Mass Effect and Chuck is Dr. Tara Wade. From StarCraft, a world-renowned electrophysiologist employed by the demon Nabarius to research reanimation of dead matter. What do you think about that?
Dude, I need to watch that movie. That sounds like the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my entire life.
Check it out on Rotten Popcorn, available at our Patreon, which I'm about to talk about right now. Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod, the only place you can go to support this show. Isn't that crazy? You can go there. You can support the show. We keep making it. And even the people who can't afford to support it then go on to listen to it. And somehow, in that twisted little version of events, you're a hero. So get out there. Go to patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. Watch our Rotten Popcorn episode that we may or may not record about I, Frankenstein. And you!
It's my turn this week, or this episode coming up. So you got to buckle in for my
choice.
You
could be a hero.
You could be a hero. Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. You could be here. Even you could be here.
You.
Unicorn Overlord. Available now.
Dude, great game. I'm playing the demo of it right now.
It's really fun, by the way. Yeah.
Excellent. The art is gorgeous. And
the
like,
food, I'm just going to say, the food art is spectacular.
I just mentioned it as a joke because it has a funny name, but it does look great. I love Ogre Battle. I love Ogre Battle. Let's
if
not.
If you like strategy tactics games, yeah, like Ogre Tactics and shit, this is a game for
We're
you.
We're not joking. This is not a brand deal. Just go ahead and check the game out.
It's no. But if they want to sponsor us, I'm open. Let me know.
Vanillaware, this is your call, please. We'll do a full unicorn episode. If you are the PR person for Vanillaware or Atlas or whoever the fuck put this game out, please contact us. We will do it. A full episode on unicorns for Unicorn Overlord. And all you got to do is give me a code for the game on Nintendo Switch. How about that?
I love it. Done. Done. If I were their CEO, you would have sold me right there.
Perfectly Boom. Shameless, as all things should be.
It's become clear, boys. We're not going to be able to top last week's episode as well. So we're going to try our best.
Do you mean what? Just in sheer journalistic relevance?
Yeah, in sheer relevance and comedy.
I must say, it's shocking to me how much of you listening right now loved that episode.
I told you why.
I thought for sure that was madness incarnate.
Any illusion that you may be under that we are anything more than a light jape when it comes to like intellectual discourse
on any of these topics.
If you think we're anything besides a thirst slaking diversion on top of anybody's
deep sips of knowledge. Research. We're not like Wikipedia.
We do a fair amount. Would you give yourself a PhD in anything that you've
seen? Oh, God, no. I am not a doctor, but I am also not like just reading a Google passage.
I'm not even a historian. I'm not even a journalist.
No, God, no. I'm none of those things.
I'm a games journalist. That's not the same thing.
I'm an internettainer.
You're an internettainer?
This is infotainment.
Infotainment. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. Exactly.
Infotainment. That's what you are?
But I am no a jape, sir.
That's all we are, dude.
It is time once again to dive into the world of mythical creatures, cryptids, and folklore legends, into a part of the world that we are not familiar with nor visited. At least I don't think either of you have visited this place. Because today we're speaking about Romania in particular. None of you have traveled. Jesse, you traveled around the world for a video game thing with Dodger.
I traveled around the world multiple times.
Well, he circumnavigated the globe thrice.
Yes. What can I say?
He was racing Dodger around it.
What can I say? But I haven't been to Romania, but when I was in Poland years ago, I went to a bar under a bridge and a bunch of people showed up because I was like, yo, I'm in Poland. Let's get crazy. And first off, amazing bar under a bridge. But second off, we were there all night and two dudes from Romania showed up. And I'll never forget this because as we're there at the bar, one of the Romanians goes missing. And I feel so responsible because the dude's like, I don't know where my friend's at, bro, that I spent the rest of the night till 4 a.m. walking the streets of Warsaw looking for this kid. We could not find him. And I had a flight the next day. And I was like, all right, you got to let me know if you find it. I have to go. I'm so sorry. I have to go. So I went, got on my plane, came home, and there was a DM on Twitter that was like, yeah, I woke up the next day. He was in my hotel room sleeping. And I was like, what happened? What? He's like, he does it all the time. Like, what?
He just disappears and returns? You know who else did that? One of the main characters from Heavy Rain, and it was heavily implied he was murdering people. So like, you know, just double check where your friend's going if he just disappears.
I mean, look, whoa. That murderer is not my friend. I met him once.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying other guy who may or may not be listening to this episode who may have discovered us after having met Jesse unprompted many years ago.
Also, in the same way that I'm reaching directly out to the devs of Unicorn Overlord, I want to extend a big no thank you to David Cage for any further promotion of any of your video games, you fucking weirdo.
All right, yeah, we're in Romania today, boys, and we are discussing, I have a list of 10, if we get through them all, we'll see if we get through them all, of different cryptids, folklorian legends, and all kinds of
stuff.
What's
going to happen before we get through them all? You think we're going to, like, get too scared?
No, but there are many a times where we're going to talk about the first mythical creature, one that actually you probably know, heard about, and we were talking about a little bit ago, Strigoi. Or vampires of the area. They're a little bit different, which we'll talk about why. But these guys, an ancient Slavic and Romanian traditions held a deep respect for the dead with complex funerary rites meant to ensure the smooth transition of the soul to the afterlife. And disruptions to these rituals, whether through improper burial or the deceased harboring ill intentions, it could lead the spirit to returning as a malevolent Strigoi. Before modern medicine, death, disease, and misfortune were often like just no idea what caused what. Bad luck befalling a family or community could be blamed on a recently deceased relative's malevolence, transforming them into a Strigoi seeking vengeance or sustenance from the living. They kind of like feed off of the life force of people and so on.
Like in a more indirect way, maybe? Like their simple existence.
Yeah. So like they used Strigoi as a reason that people were getting sick or maybe a reason somebody died. Strigoi would be
like a living curse, like a curse with agency.
Kind of. It's well, like I angry, mean, it, It's more like vengeful kind
does
of
it have
stuff.
To come vengeful get, spirits. Does it have to come get it, or does it just like absorb it by existing? You know what I mean?
But well, I think it's part of the mystery of like if it's in the area and people are getting sick, it's
like is it crouched? Is it like crouched in my house and it's like sucking my talent off or my needs? It's like sucking off my like.
Well, let's talk about its abilities. Let's talk about it. We'll get to its abilities and maybe that'll help clear
maybe
it up.
I should use kind the word siphon. I'm going to use the word siphoning from now on.
Yeah,
I
mean, siphon's
I'm
better.
That's sucking. Too weird. It's fine with me. I'm down
I know
with
you
me.
Are. I know you're fine with sucking.
There was a belief in ancient times where individuals that were born with physical peculiarities, those were considered witches or practicing sorcery, or those who died by suicide could preemptively be labeled as a potential Strigoi.
I just want to point out before you continue, because I think this is fascinating. You said they're born with physical deformities, they're considered witchers or whatever, right?
Yeah.
For much of society growing like way back, like going way back.
Yeah. Hundreds, thousands.
Beauty
years.
Was considered a blessing by God. And if you ever want to look this up, I'm not going to take up the episode for it, but just go look up the court case of a woman who was put on trial and her defense was she's too beautiful to be evil. And so beauty, you know, it was a weird thing. Whereas like if you're ugly, man, you are having a bad life.
That sucks, dude. I wonder if you think I'm too pretty to be a crime man?
Yeah, man.
Are you too pretty to be a crime man?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You're too pretty to be a crime man.
Thanks. Yeah. I appreciate that. That's, yeah. You know, makes me feel better at night that the cops will never arrest me. But Strigoi wasn't just a creepy ghost. It was a potent force of malevolence equipped with a wide array of interesting abilities, including shapeshifting. Strigoi were said to be able to transform into familiar animals like dogs, cats, owls, insects. This allowed them to move discreetly, spying on their victims and stalking them until they were in a prime place to be fed from, which moves to their next ability, their life draining. Whether through sucking of blood or more subtly sapping a victim's vitality as just like a more vague kind of attack. Strigoi were fueled by the life essence of living things. This explained the lingering illnesses or mysterious deaths that brought upon their targets by using their life-draining victim's vitality as the reason somebody got really sick and died. And it's a physical person, Alex, to clarify. Like, it's a physical thing that would have to be next to you and be like...
Yeah, it sucks you. Know you. Or it, like, just kind of does it by... kind of being like and absorbing.
Yeah. You know who could be a Strigoi? The blonde witch from Hocus Pocus.
Yes. Yes. Because
she would be a Strigoi.
She has
wouldn't
all
it
the,
be more like
she sucks I'm all the life force out of kids.
I'm trying to think of like a reference that Alex would know immediately. In Witcher 3, mm-hmm. the lady from the trailer, I think. Yeah.
The Striga.
The like redheaded woman, and he like meets her in the forest.
Yes, yes.
In the trailer, I think that would be a Strigoi, or whatever they would call it game.
It's got to be a Striga. It's the same as a Striga, for sure.
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah. For sure.
It's definitely, yeah, it's similar.
I want to tell everyone it was such a great time coming out to Indie PopCon last year. Really fun time. Had a grand time. But I will tell you for sure that my biggest memories of being at that convention was getting stoned with Mathis and then talking to him for 2 to 3 hours a night only about vampires. And I wanted
Empire
to,
of the Masquerade,
and not even, yeah, not even mythological vampires,
like a tabletop RPG,
licensed IP vampires. But I do remember something about you bringing up something with a similar name to this in that discussion, something Striga, something like that.
Maybe there's a bunch, like there's the vampires that sap life force in that are known as Quasian.
Probably from another language, right?
Yeah, it's probably from another language. They're vampires only in that they sap life force from living things, but they're not like vampires in any other way, really. I don't know. I have to think. I don't know what it could have been.
This feels very much to me like vampires, like as we know them, but like before the branding. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. 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 A lot more bestial, like more
like pre-Bela Lugosi vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Of course, in their reanimated form, the Strigoi were often said to possess unnatural strength and be remarkably hard to just destroy. That's like impervious to damage. Lastly, there are some accounts that give the Strigoi the power to manipulate shadows as well as just purely vanish from sight. So ways to hide, many ways to just kind of keep their existence away. And a popular Romanian folktale speaks of a young man plagued by nightmares in which his recently deceased father calls out to him. Growing weaker each day, this family suspects the father has become or is becoming a Strigoi, They exhume, after he dies, they exhume the corpse to find it unnaturally fresh and bloated, which kind of just sounds like a body decaying to me. Following the gruesome prescriptions of their time, they stake the heart, burn the body, scatter the ashes, and which is supposed to stop the Strigoi from rising ever anymore. And then when they did that, their nightmares and mysterious illnesses ceased. To me, that sounds like they were very familiar with the Strigoi, like legend, and it made them gave them anxiety when their dad died.
Made them really scared. And then
and they got really scared after their father passed, and it just like became like a source of anxiety, which probably gave them nightmares and made them feel sick all the time.
Or if the corpse was like rotten in some way, you know, maybe they got a little bug. You could maybe have gotten sick at the wrong time for some reason. Yeah. Maybe you even got the same thing that killed the father. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, and then you just pass it like a bug.
And then every time it's the angry spirit coming back of the last one as a Strigoi, making you sick, making you die, which makes you become a Strigoi. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that circular logic. I would not be surprised if that was something that like happened often.
And the notion of what is true, like little organisms that like inject themselves into your cells and make you sick, is so impossible to guess or like intuit without science that it's like, it might as well be the Striga, the Strigoi, you know what I mean? It might as well be the lineage of a monster. It's not any weirder or less. It's actually less weird other than the fact that we know that it's true.
Yeah, I agree. I like that. I think a lot of that kind of like applies to a lot of other type things. We'll go through. Thank you so much to today's sponsor, Stamps.com. And as the excitement of the new year wears off, all pretty much all gone at this point, as summer is right around the corner, it's probably time you find your groove if you haven't yet. Keep things moving. And it's especially important when you run a small business like we do here at Chilluminati. And after all that said and done, and you find your groove in life again, and settle back into that routine, the more you can take off your lap, the better. Do you really have time to be going to the post office, waiting in line, buying stamps, or would you rather get all that done at your computer and not worry about heading to the post office? Well, that's what Stamps.com is for. Postage rates also just increased again. So luckily, Stamps.com has the best discounts in the industry, with rates you can't find anywhere else, like 89% off of USPS and UPS. Plus, Stamps.com automatically tells you your cheapest and fastest shipping options, so you don't have to navigate all those different carriers. And for 25 years, Stamps.com has been indispensable for over a million businesses like ours, whether they're mailing out checks or invoices, legal documents, books, blah, 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 you know, all the things that just get mailed in the mail, mostly. And if you sell products online, Stamps.com seamlessly can connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart to make your job just that much easier. So keep your mailing and shippings moving at the speed of your business with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code CHILL for a special offer that includes 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. All you got to do is just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code CHILL. It's that easy. And thank you again to Stamps.com for sponsoring today's video. The next one we're going to move to Strigoi, like pretty classic. I think we've even done Strigoi maybe in another cryptid one, because it's the Strigoi is kind of in multiple different countries in that area as like a myth and a creature to be, you know, concerned about, a cryptid, if you were. But we haven't spoken about this one. The second one on the list is known as the Zmeu, Zmeu, which is like a fucking hard name to say. Zmeu's origins are a kind of like natural symbolism, primeval fears, and echoes of historical clashes from their past, all kind of like rolled into a creature. It's very much the embodiment of natural forces. They often represent the destructive and chaotic power of nature. They're giant people, basically, or giants. They have the ability to fly, breathe fire, control weather, and it could be they use these creatures as an explanation for thunderstorms, earthquakes, or in areas where they had them, volcanic eruptions that would be witnessed by these people. Zmeu would be a good cryptid, or I wouldn't even say cryptid, a folklore legend is probably more appropriate, where this is like nature was very much this thing's domain.
It's almost like a mythological creature of old, right? Like, I mean, I guess the Strigoi kind of is too, but it almost doesn't, it's almost like not real so much as it's like,
Wait, so what is this? Exists, so like this Strigoi, right? Is pale and like skinny and has the teeth. I can visualize right?
It's a muse.
It's got long, crazy looking hair and it's like, yeah, I'll eat you.
These ones are like dragons kind of, right?
Right.
Like,
what is this thing look like? Let me
give you this is of course the first thing that pops up. The dragon's wiki.
The etymology of it is familiar. It's familiar. The word, the name is like, I don't think I've heard it from this culture, from like Romanian, the name, but.
Zemu?
Yeah, but like things, I know that I've like things called like the shmoo or the, you know, stuff like that, like stuff that's similar in name. I think there's even like probably some Final Fantasy or like Shin Megami Tensei type.
That's probably true.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all.
Looking at it, especially, like, it's like a dragonkin man.
Kind of, but like, here's another picture of it as well that looks nothing like that. And this is why it's like hard to like pin down like exactly what it looks like here.
It's like an anthropomorphized, it's like a scaly.
Yeah.
But, and I'm going to give you, you know what?
A scaly. Yeah, it's like a lizard. It's like a lizard man. It's like a
decent way with to
dragon
describe
wings.
It.
Like a dragon, like in Dark Souls 3, the like area where there's like,
and there's a last reference photo I have for
dragons
you.
Dragons growing out of everyone and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a, literally like a dragonkin. Like literally.
You know who it is? Yeah. You know who exactly it is? In the hit film, Jupiter Ascending.
Yes.
The dragon men in that movie.
Yes. 100%.
That's exactly who it is.
I was going to say, he looks like Shenron from Dragon Ball GT.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Sure. Same guy.
yeah. Same thing.
Exact same character.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go over these guys' powers. So these guys are kind of interesting in that they, much like I said earlier, they are giant in form. They have possess immense physical strength, capable of apparently battling entire armies or shattering mountains with a single blow. They can, just like Strigoi, shapeshift. Some of them can take on a handsome human form to deceive or manipulate others, underscoring like just like their constant chaos that they are seeding.
Oh, little do they know, they do not need that magic power anymore.
Oh no, not anymore. They can fly and breathe fire as a kind of like that dragon-like ability imbued into them, and some of them are depicted with multiple heads. There are some Zemei that have 3, 6, or even 9 to 12 heads. Each severed head may regenerate unless vanquished in a particular way, making them near impossible to kill.
So they're both Hydra, and well, I guess the heads don't grow back.
Of them are Hydra. Like, there's not a common thing. It's just some are predicted that way.
Again, it sounds like fan fiction for scalies. Like, yeah, no, I'm a lizardkin, but also I have wings, and I'm a Hydra too. Like, okay,
yeah,
all right.
Sounds like my, like a character I created in high school to write fanfic about that just was way too powerful. Like your custom insert character into fucking Dragon Ball Z. It's sure. Like I'm Shenron, but upgraded. We're going to go over real quick a quick beloved Romanian fairy tale named Prasilia the Brave and the Golden Apples. We're not going to read the whole thing, just like a rundown of it. The youngest and often underestimated son, Prasilia, undertakes a perilous quest to rescue his brothers from the clutches of fearsome Zemei. These Zemei live in splendid castles and hoard treasures like dragons that we know of in Western mythology, including the magical Golden Apples. Armed with courage and enchanted weapons, Prasilia overcomes each Zemu, their strengths growing more formidable with each confrontation until he finally emerges victorious. It's like a classic hero fantasy story of him going to slay a dragon, except sure. It's a bunch of them that are just more and more and more powerful as they go along. This is May. We forgot to set up a ranking system. Fuck. We always do a ranking system.
Oh, I got this. Okay, I'm going to assume Ursus is your most popular beer, Romanians. It's the first one I found. However, it may not be true. Don't hold against me. How likely, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most likely, how much or how likely would you be to go have a drink with this person?
Like an Ursus?
And have an Ursus beer with them.
I love it. Okay, start with the Strigoi. Let's get started. Number one.
Oh, a 10. I imagine they've got so much stuff going on.
I think he's the vampire and I'm the wolf.
Yeah, man. I was just saying, man, they're interested in having a beer with you at all. They just want to suck your life force away, which is why I give them a 10.
It's going to
kill
me.
But
that
makes sense for me.
I would immediately be like, what is the deal? Like, how does this even work? Why are you sucking? Like, what's going on?
How are you sucking,
doing so much
bro?
Sucking, dude?
Like, why? Like, what's you? Like, let's go get a drink.
Yeah. Okay. Do I have to give it a 1? Do I have to give it a 1? Can I give it a 0?
You can give it a 0 as much as you want.
Okay, I'm gonna give it a 0 on the beers. I don't want to get, I don't want to drink a beer with a vampire. Number one, waste of time. Vampires can't drink beer. Number two, it's going to kill me. It's going to drink me instead of the beer.
Exactly. Exactly that.
Yeah, but then I'll be drunk. Then he'll get drunk. And that's hilarious. So 10.
that's just a good that's time 10, for everybody, that's 10. Dude.
That's just vibes. Yeah.
That's just vibes.
That's just straight up
this
vibes.
This guy, this Mew, like a 7. I feel like so if he can shatter the world, if he's getting drunk, yeah. I'm worried.
I'm much, you know what higher, I mean? I'm much higher on the scale with this second guy. I feel like maybe we could convince him. He looks like a D&D guy. Like, yeah. Maybe he just wants to chat. Like, maybe he wasn't even made into a dragon.
He's only
going to
talk
choice.
About himself. He's only going to talk about his backstory.
That's all I want to know about. It's really intricate. So much different
like, it's
than
too
me.
Much for me. It's too much. No.
I think that's why I'd be into it, because I'd love all that stuff. So I would give it like an, I think I'd give it an 8, personally.
I'm a giver. Yeah.
Would you say, Alex? Would you score him?
7.
7? And Jesse?
7.
Oh, okay. All right. 2 7s. All right. All right. Now we'll move on to the next one on the list. This one is known as the Solominari, which is such a fucking cool ass name. I love it so much.
That does sound the Solominari.
That sounds like some Star Trek shit right there. I'm all in.
Solominari is like the plural for Solominar.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's get over their appearance first. These guys are marked by the skies. The Solominar is often described as lean and weathered. Their skin bearing scars are intricate markings from their battles amongst the clouds.
Is it a humanoid?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
I was literally going to say they look human. Their eyes might hold an unusual glint reflective of their otherworldly experiences. And after completing training, some Solominari return to the villages that they came from, serving as protectors and even healers. Others prefer a more solitary existence, their presence a mix of a kind of respect and fear. And then there's the Balar's Book. They're said to carry a powerful books containing their knowledge of weather control.
Time out. Are these just
D&D characters?
No, like they sound like, it's like an alien. Gandalf and Saruman. Are they just the wizards that would be in Lord of the Rings?
Except they're also like trained to like fight with swords. They have like combat in the sky.
Yeah, literally Gandalf rolls around with a sword.
What are they called?
They sound.
No, they
sound like wizards.
They're called something. The Istar.
Oh, that does sound familiar. Yeah,
the original like wizards that are like these ancient beings that come to Earth and they don't really remember who they are. I think at first
these guys, but you're saying these are just people from a village that then go train and then come back wizards.
These are not born into their power. They're chosen. It's believed that certain babies are marked with a caul, which is part of the amniotic sac, or other unusual birthmarks signaling their potential. And then legends say that these marked children around the age of 7 are spirited away by Elder Solominari to begin a rigorous, decades-long apprenticeship.
Harry Potter, dude!
This is Link. This is the hero of time, Link, right here. This is what we're talking about.
I love this!
This training is said to occur in a secret place called Solominari, or Solominanta, depending on who kind of says it, often believed to be a remote mountain cave or even located somewhere beyond the edge of the earth. So the land behind the ice walls, boys. It's true.
I love this. I need more information. Mathis, more information on
at
them.
At the Solominari school, students learn a mysterious language rumored to be the tongue of animals and nature itself. This grants them the ability
to whisper to the moth and the butterfly, and then the eagles come. Oh my
this
God.
This grants them the ability to understand and control the elements of the sky as well. They're also storm riders. Their most striking power is the ability to mount and command fearsome dragons called Balauri. And together, Solominari and their dragons battle the forces that bring devastating hailstorms, a vital role in protecting agrarian communities.
So somebody heard thunder and made up like the sickest story ever.
Someone had the most badass imagination ever. Yeah.
I must stress to you, I went to go look up the Balauri to see what they look like. This makes it even better. According to this, they hung out with the Solominar people, but more importantly, they also hung out with the Jmu guys. They were all crew. They all were like, they rolled together.
Here's a picture of it from
ancient. That's awesome. I love this.
Dude, I'm glad. This is one of my favorite ones. There's a picture of them just depicted in like a ancient drawing.
Jesus Christ. Literal dragon riders. Like dragon riding wizards.
Riding a dragon. That's just what he's doing.
Literally,
the best, I just want to stress the best part called? About this.
Perth? Pern?
The best part about this image is it's like the dragon looks almost like one of the gargoyle dragons, which is fine. Yeah. Dragons can look at whatever. But imagine a dragon, like the most fearsome dragon you can picture in your
head. Dragons.
Imagine dragons. But then on top of the dragon holding the reins is an old man with a literal cane, like a curved cane that's his weapon. That's awesome. Al-Gaib.
Yep.
Listen, Al-Gaib. This is cool as hell.
Victories over hailstorms aren't complete without dealing the spoils. Soleimanari are said to gather the conquered hail and store it in hidden locations within caves, mountain fortresses, or some even believe in a lake beyond the known world. And the Soleimanari are not strictly benevolent figures either. Their ability to call storms also holds destructive potential. A Soleimanar scorned or angered might bring drought, floods, or even direct lightning strikes upon their enemies. So, you know, it is another, they're the most badass reason lightning for bad
bolt.
Weather.
Lightning bolt.
Yeah, yeah. What oh, the boys, fuck? I should take you LARPing one day. Oh, my God. I'd LARPed be a good for LARPer. Years. I LARPed for years. I love it. It's so much fun.
I'm here.
So that's a Soleimanari. You know, they're kind of just like another weather metaphor in a lot of ways.
They're
just
like more the thralls bad of Zeus in a way.
Yeah. It would be badass to be like, to have like a Soleimanar show up in town and just to take a 7-year-old away and be like, you come. Mom can't say anything. It's like when the Jedi come and take a kid to go to Jedi training.
It really is the Jedi. Yeah. It is.
You don't really get to say anything. You just go and you don't see him for decades. And then when they come back, they're all weird and different.
Well, that's cool as hell. I love this. Romania, you have good creatures and or people.
Creatures and or people. All right, we got to rank the sucker.
Oh, 11. 11.
Yeah, I would buy more than one beer for this wizard.
Oh, this yeah. Seems like more than one beer from this wizard.
I like four it. For all the right, wizard.
I give him a 10-2.
Yeah.
I give him a 10-2.
Final Fantasy 10-2. Like,
Final Fantasy 10-2. I didn't play that one. Was it good?
Yeah.
Actually, I must stress, actually, you must play it because it's insane.
Actually,
you must
fuck yeah, it rules.
Man, I'm playing through Final Fantasy Rebirth. Okay, so like, and I finished Remake. Insane seems to be par for the course right now.
Great follow-up to one of the best reviewed Final Fantasy games of all time, by the way, Final Fantasy X-2. I can't think of a better follow-up for you, so that's great. You should do
all right.
That.
All right, yeah, I'll put it on my list.
It's available on all major platforms. Square Enix, I'm looking at you guys. This could be backdoor video game deals all the time, yeah.
Thank you so much to today's sponsor, Hero Forge. I'm so happy we're working with them again, by the way. I love it. I don't know if you know, but I've been a tabletop RPG guy for, do I want to date myself? Yeah, like over 20 years. Anyway, and you know, doing minis and getting minis is one of the best parts of it. I love growing my collection. I love having a special mini for all my characters, especially if I'm a player. And Hero Forge is exactly where I go to do all of that stuff. And they have amazing selections. You can choose a bunch of different bodies, heads, arms, creatures, humans, elves, monsters. They even got like multiple colors, poses, gear, clothing, all kinds of stuff that you can make your mini your own. And the shipping is fast and it gets to you in amazing quality. The types that you can get are uncolored for if you prefer more just like to paint them on your own, or you can get them fully colored on your own and with a bunch of different bases for different game sets. It's my favorite fucking place to go. And if you're like me and you ended up investing in a 3D printer, you could still use Hero Forge. All the models that you make, you can just buy from them for their STL files for super cheap, and you can just print it at home. I love Hero Forge. I love being a nerd in tabletop RPGs and minis. It's just so much fun. And if you want to check it out and you want to hear me stop gushing about this stuff, just head over to heroforge.com. We actually got a code this time around. So if you use code CHILL, you're going to get 5% off all of your orders of physical miniatures. So go over to HeroForge.com, make your mini, make your game awesome, upgrade your tabletop experience, and use code CHILL for 5% off your physical miniatures. Thank you again to HeroForge for working with us again and sponsoring today's video. The next up on our list of insane creatures is the Pricolici.
I'm sorry, what?
That the sounds Italian. The way you're saying that makes it sound Italian.
It's, I mean, you know, here you go. I copy-pasted the way you spell it there.
The way I see it looks Italian also.
Yeah, I mean, you know, So at their core,
it looks like a character in Dragon Ball.
What?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, a little bit.
It's a little bit Piccolo. It's like.
Yeah, kind of.
Bricolici.
Bricolici.
It sounds like some type of like liqueur that tastes like shit from like 1905.
Yeah, you mix it with Goldschlager and you make like a, it's called the werewolf treat.
They drank this on the decks of the Titanic before it sank.
That's what they were going after in that submersible, and then that bottle of whatever.
The last bottle.
The last bottle of Prickalichi. At their core, Prickalichi are just undead spirits cursed to roam the world in the form of monstrous wolves. Their origins are often tied to a life of violence, wickedness, or those cursed to become werewolves after death. Can I just say, in the olden days, if you were an evil fuck, you just die and become a badass creature.
That
you
sounds
don't go
tight
to like a punishment world. You just become something scarier. Yeah. Like, it's like not a good way to dissuade people from being evil.
Probably normal, probably normal people, but not people who have a paranormal podcast.
Yeah, well, yeah. We're a niche in a niche, okay?
So let me ask you a question then. So these are like wolf man monsters that maybe aren't necessarily werewolves in the same way that we're thinking about, but they are the same shape as werewolves. But is that different than the Varkulak?
What?
There's a Romanian, I think it's Romanian, Jesus Christ, I hope that I am not being
listen,
so
we may not be on the list is the thing. That's not a name that I put on this list.
That's the Romanian werewolf that I have heard of. I don't know, maybe they're the same thing, maybe they're different. Maybe it's just a different word for
it. No, this is different. Hang on, we'll slip this in
just
right after.
Just two
this
separate,
is entirely
sweet
different.
Wolf.
This is a different wolf creature.
The two sweet wolves.
This apparently is a Prickalichi, or however one would say
Prickalichi.
This, is... supposedly the like most violent, worst people that enjoyed chaos and blood in life became them.
Yes.
And basically, instead of being like, I guess a lot of the time werewolves are, they have to feed and whatever, but the idea of a werewolf is like there's some sentience there. This is like, no, they're they aren't werewolves. You don't go back to being a man sometimes.
It's like werewolves unleashed. Wolfman.
Yeah, they're full on. They just eat and feast, and they're bad people.
You're just now a wolf guy.
Like, they're literally depicted basically a majority of the time as just larger than ordinary wolves. They might have, like, red eyes, a weird aura around them, or even have, like, shadowy, semi-transparent forms, like a semi-spirit. But they... the Prickalichi retain a bestial lust for blood and life force.
That's nice. So you only have to buy pants once, and then
you're safe. They prowl the countryside attacking livestock, but can also target humans, sometimes fixating on their former families with terrifying malice. The Prickalichi's weapons aren't limited to just its bite either. Legends often tell of them manipulating the weather to cloak themselves in smog, or not smog, fog. Their LA wolves would be smog. Summoning storms, or even possessing the ability to vanish in an instant. They do have very similar weaknesses to like Strigoi and stuff, but it's a Prickalichi is like very difficult to fend off. Garlic, religious symbols, and sunlight might offer a little bit of protection, stalling it a bit, but it won't ever fully stop the creature.
Straight up Benny from The Mummy, man. Can't even win.
You need more than silver bullets or just like any of that stuff. Stories, according to legend, mention beheading or impaling the corpse with the stake, much like the Strigoi. Sometimes a priest conducting specific rites or the burning of the body may be necessary to finally end the creature's evil existence. But there are rare tales out there, rare as they may be, they exist, that suggest a captured Prickalichi might plead for release, even regaining human appearance for a short while. However, these narratives often end in betrayal and the Prickalichi reverting to its monstrous form to wreak more havoc afterwards. So yeah, you know, keep it. It basically was an explanation for livestock being killed probably by wildlife or whatever. Or just like, I guess it's like a warning story for kids, but just, I mean, yeah, it's weird. It's a weird one, but yeah, let's jump right over to Varkulak real quick.
Yeah.
So here's what I've got on Varkulak in my quick research. Varkulak is a word that's derived from the Bulgarian term for werewolf. So this is like a full werewolf. So the other thing is a wolf.
That's just this a looks wolf like it's, with human parts. This is a guy that changes werewolf back and forth.
Yeah. The Varkulak, though, hold a unique place in Roman mythology. blending the werewolf aspects with a potent, like, cosmic role, apparently. One of their core traits is its ability to devour the sun or moon.
Holy shit.
Often connected to the phenomenon of eclipses, instilling, like, so I guess that makes sense.
That's kind of wolf-like in a way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it kind of gives, like, the moon, like, or, like, an eclipse, like, a kind of sense of foreboding if it's these things. Legends state that the Varkolakji can be born as such, so they can be, like, genetically a lupine, often the result of a pregnant woman being looked upon by a wolf.
What?
There's also, yeah, damn, that's what it says here.
Damn,
there's also the belief that those who break religious fasting rules or commit certain sins can be transformed after death. So after you die, you become a werewolf, which, again, just sounds fucking badass. Like, your mom is looked upon by a wolf, now you're a werewolf. But if you die by not following God's rules, you're a werewolf too. That's kind of cool. Poor kid doesn't get a choice, but I mean, this guy just, all you have to do is not fast and you're going to become one. So they have these abilities, the following abilities. They can also shape the shadows, which seems to be a running theme through a lot of these cryptids and creatures in mythology. They can also, eating of the sun and moon, which we talked about. And while they can attack with claws and fangs, the Varkolakji's threat is more than just physical. They symbolize a disruption of cosmic balance, bringing darkness and uncertainty during times already imbued with superstitious fear.
So they're like an omen. They're like a werewolf. Yeah, like an omen. They're all kinds seemingly. Of stuff. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As far as, like, protecting yourself from these things, light and sound, villagers would traditionally make as much noise as possible, ringing bells, pots, pans, slapping them together. It's just like chaos noise scares them away. Then you got rituals and religion and prayers. The end of the day, some lore also says that they're a harbinger of greater apocalypse, that there's more bad things coming. So, yeah, just like an omen. It's like an omen amplifier.
He's the Mothman. He's a vampire. He's like a god eater of cosmic bodies.
And that's all I got for you on this quick go with this thing. So let's start. Let's go back to the Prickalichi drink scale.
Oh, for both of these guys, one.
It's going to be low. It's going to be low. I want to give them both low, maybe like a one or two, just because they're sick, just because they're rad. But
yeah.
Between the two of them, if I had to choose one that I had to have a drink with, I would choose the Varkolak just because I didn't know about any of that cosmic business. And that's intriguing to me.
They literally are, the whole premise is they're bad people to begin with.
That's like the they're Prickalichi, evil.
Right? The Prickalichi, but like, yeah. I say no, zero on the Prickalichi. I would give a six to the Varkolak, or what it was, but it has to be one that was born one. I don't want one that became one after he died because he was, you know, he didn't fast or whatever. I want to know what it's like for one who was mother was looked upon by a wolf and they were born a werewolf, essentially. Because they, who says they have to be bad? Why do they got to be bad?
Damn, dude. That's why you're going to save them all.
You serious? Yeah, all right. I can fix her, right? Like, I can fix her. That's who
why
I am.
Why has got to be a her?
Him. I'll fix him. I can fix him, too. I'll fix them. I'll fix everyone. I'll fix you all.
That's just a reminder to get your pets fixed. The patreon.com/Illuminati. <Just
kidding. laughs> All right. Next one. Jesse, this was another one I marked as you would probably really enjoy. I didn't actually think you would enjoy the...
How did you mark it? Did you put a J by it? For Jesse?
No, I just put a giant, like, rock hard cock next to it. Oh, actually,
nice.
So, like, but why put a stone chicken there? It doesn't make a lot of sense.
All right. So, I went to how to pronounce this. So, this is Iele. The Iele.
Iele?
I have to say it like that. Either bring your shoulders up, Iele? Get out your chin, go Iele. I'm going to link it. It's I E L E. So, it looks very confusing unless you know what you're actually looking Iele. At. The Yella, I closed my little notes there for a second. The Yella are fundamentally elusive fey creatures. They are often described as beautiful, ethereal maidens likened to fairies or nymphs in maybe other Western mythologies. However, they are far from benevolent spirits and can be incredibly dangerous if you piss them off. There are some tales that depict the Iele as born from just the air or morning dew. They just birthed from nature. Others suggest that the connections to ancient deities or even claim them as the restless souls of unbaptized women, which to me sounds like it came around the time where, like, it was like, you know, Catholic Church trying it to.
Sounds like the Lord Frollo from fucking Hunchback of Notre Dame came up with that one.
Lord Frollo. Oh, God. Is that the fancy guy?
He's the guy who's plagued by lust.
Yeah. Okay. I've only seen that movie like a couple times when I was a kid. It's been a while. Yele are usually linked to wild, remote places like forests, meadows, caves. And they're especially known in stories about people coming to crossroads, like kind of like how you meet the devil at the crossroads. And these you meet Yele are often at the crossroads. Their presence is often there to cause chaos with you, more or less, to play around, to tease, to trap. They're able to, they're most famous for their entrancing nocturnal dances that draw you in, often forming circles under the moonlight. And mortals, as they're lured into these dances, are slowly driven mad, become hopelessly lost, or sometimes even just vanish altogether. Which reminds me a lot of like sirens in the open ocean, where they're drawing people in with like a song, and usually men go overboard and then they get lost in, you know, the water and stuff. Seems like the forest version of that. Yele are also sometimes known to tempt men, leading them astray and potentially even stealing their life force. Which is another kind of story reminder or warning to like the allure of going into the wild alone and, you know, fucking just dying because you got lost. While not inherently evil overall, the Yele are easily offended and disrespecting their domains, interrupting their dances, or even looking directly upon them can lead to curses, illnesses, and sometimes worse, death. Now, what do these beautiful, dangerous fairy things look like? Well, they're often portrayed as young, breathtakingly beautiful women with long flowing hair and mesmerizing eyes. They may wear shimmering gowns or be adorned with flowers. Some accounts even describe Yele as having translucent bodies or lacking any solid form. Sometimes they reveal monstrous aspects too, like fangs, claws, or even horse hooves if you piss them off. In some areas, Yele are solitary spirits. In others, they exist as groups, most commonly as 3 to 7 sisters. Their specific powers and temperament might also change subtly across Romania and different like cultures and communities. The best way to save yourself from them is to simply just respect them and maintain caution. Treat their territory with respect. Travelers through remote places would often leave offerings of food or flowers. Yeah, food or flowers in hopes of appeasing them. Should you encounter any nocturnal dances, avert your eyes, or even just straight up run away altogether without looking back to break the enchantment, or if they even began to enchant you. And then there's some folk remedies. Like if the misfortune of encountering a Yele befalls upon somebody, various folk cures exist, ranging from specific herbal remedies to complex rituals performed by village healers. These guys are like a weird mix of beauty and horror, but not like inherently evil, just very, very sensitive and very, very territorial.
Something classically compelling or significant about like a bunch of beautiful women bathing in a glade, you know?
I mean, it's like it's strong nymph dryad territory.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but yeah, it has that essence to it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, like literally, as I said in the earlier, like that's like their counterparts in the West are nymphs and fairies, 100%. Like that's easily what they're closest
to. But I don't know why them bathing in a pool is like the thing that unites them all, but it kind of is for some reason.
I mean, just the idea of like a sexy lady in a pool is kind of a vibe for everyone ever. So here's what I'll say.
That's true. That's how they used to sell Coke.
Maybe an 11 because I like the idea.
I knew it would be a 10 for you.
I like the idea that they're going to try and make me mad and like encircle me and be like, we're going to turn you crazy. And I'm like, I already am crazy. Wild card. And then we're just going to do it, I assume. Like, I don't know. Take my essence. It's fine. I lived a good life.
It's not been the greatest any of the stories that I read, unfortunately.
I'll buy them all a drink. Respectfully, buy them all a drink. That's a 10. That's a 10.
We're getting a drink.
All. The other guys, not so much.
That works. As long as you hand them a woman except a drink the wizards. And say respectfully.
The wizards and the nymphs. And we got to. I'm forming a D&D party. Give me one of those dragon people and a wizard and a hot nymph.
Dude, sign we're really putting together this is a cool ass place to do a D&D campaign.
I'm Romania? Damn right, dude. I want Romanian Pokemon now. Let's go,
dude. No shit. All right. Are you ready for the next one?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh wait, no. 10 from Jesse. What did you rank?
Oh, I said 10. Or I said high. Okay, so 10.
I am also 10. 100% a 10. Now. Next up on our list is the Muma Paduri. Once again, just kind of copy paste the spelling in case you want to go hunt some Muma Paduri. They're like troll witch type looking things. If you look at images of them, Muma Paduri is a guardian spirit of the Romanian forest. Her name literally translates to mother of the forest, underscoring her connection, obviously, to the freaking woods that she freaking lives in and protects.
This is like,
which, I don't know if you're seeing a running theme with a lot of these themes, but it's forest related. A lot of dangers in the forest.
Well, just look at a picture of Romania, right?
I know. Well, no, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just, it 100% makes sense. One of the more fascinating aspects to Muma Paduri is her duality. Like, she's neither super purely evil, but not like super good either. She's chaotic neutral. If I were to slot her into D&D level alignment charts, she's often envisioned as an elderly, hideous woman, sometimes with exaggerated features or even animalistic characteristics. I saw a picture with her with like huge antlers with one of them. This appearance highlights her, again, otherness compared to people, to really represent the merger of humanity and nature. Some say that she is fiercely protective of the creatures and plants within her domain, very similar to Iele. She may punish or mislead those who hunt excessively, disrespect the woods, or harm its inhabitants. Her deep connection to the forest sometimes grants her knowledge of healing herbs and remedies, and those who approach her respectfully may gain her favor, and she may be willing to help them as a reward with giving them a healing or an herb. So therein is like the beneficial part of it, which to me speaks of going into the woods, treating with respect, knowing what you're looking at in terms of like healing herbs or herbs that might like help with maybe pain or something, and just not over farming or overtaking from it. And obviously when it comes to an old witch or crone in the woods, there's a bajillion lost children stories, and there's absolutely the same here. Sometimes Mama Paduri is depicted as either helping lost children find their way home or leading them further astray if they were being mean or misbehaved or disrespectful, that kind of thing. She's, like I said, a force of nature. She can actually control the weather, much like others that we've spoken about before.
Like a crone, a black anise type, Baba Yaga.
Super unique in terms of like what she represents and how we have similar things in other cultures around the world.
She'd eat a kid, but if Lord Farquaad came to take all the forest creatures away, she'd team up with the good ones and take them out.
Yeah. You know what? Yes, correct. That's exactly correct. She seems cool to me. In terms of the drink scale, I'd go like an 8.
Yeah, I'm a little put off by the danger, but
I'm a little worried.
But I love nature. I'm a man of the green as well. I'll take that. I think I can hang with the Muma Paduri.
Nah. The Muma Paduri?
She seems like fickle.
I don't think she would kill me.
Here's the thing. I'd hang, but this is like a 7.
7? Okay, yeah, but still, that's still pretty high. Pretty above average. It's not bad. That's not bad. It's worth the experience.
She's not inherently going to get with me. But not interesting enough that give a 10 like a Strigoi, because that's terrifying, but also, I want to know what that's. Maybe I could be one. I don't know. What are the rules?
Did you know that there was a Muma Paduri on the Masked Singer Romania?
Is it good? Is there more to that, or is that okay?
One first place. It's a costume that they wore on the Masked Singer. That was the Muma Paduri. So it's, you know, must be quite well known in that
popular
country.
Yeah, well known. Yeah. Well, Jesse, the next one is, well, not just Jesse, Alex, too. This is one that, as we talked a little bit about earlier, as you said, the Balauri are fucking cool. That's what the Suleimanari ride. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about now. The Balauri. These guys are often represented and represent untamed, chaotic natural forces, much like the Suleimanari can. They also like storms, floods, earthquakes. Their destructive power mirrors the sometimes unpredictable and catastrophic power of nature itself. And in many folktales, Balauri are greedy and destructive creatures. They hoard vast treasures, kidnap princesses, and often clash with heroic figures representing order and courage. Some scholars theorize that Balauri reflects memories of historical clashes with nomadic invaders or foreign empires. The fantastical form of the dragon may have evolved from exaggerated accounts of powerful leaders and they're intimidating beasts of war that they would not have been familiar with as they were being invaded. Like other things we've talked about, this thing is potentially multi-headed as well. They can have up to 3 heads is common. Some of them describe them with 9. this adds to their like weird, hard to kill like stuff, like the other creature we were talking about, that weird multi-headed dragon type thing. It's exactly from the Priscellia. That was the name of it. Priscellia and the Brave and the Golden Apples. Like, that's a story of her going through that kind of thing. So yeah, there's Blowry, just a quick little bit more about them. They're not really creatures you can get a drink with, though. So I don't know
how they're like sentient enough.
No, they're all often just depicted as animals and hoarding wealth. They're not. They're ridden as like beasts of war, more than they're actually like sentient creatures.
Do you think it would drink beer
if it was sentient enough?
No, like if there was like a trough full of beer, like.
Oh, I see. You know what? Yes, I think it's
like let's say the Suliminari come down and like park at the bar. Like, could I pour like a trough of Ursus out in the street for the?
I like Bilari? That. I'm gonna say yes. You probably can.
In that case, fucking 10. But if not, I just wanna like have a Suliminar introduce me to his and like let me like feed it a carrot or whatever. It, you know, I'd be into that through like a fence at the ranch.
This is a 10 because in my mind it's like Shadowfax, the mount of a great wizard, and so this guy, beast. you know this dude, he be sipping the same thing. The wizard comes down with a little like flask of something. And he gives it to his dragon, and his dragons, you know, they're friends. The wizard can probably talk to him, so I want to know. That's a 10.
All right, you sold me. I was afraid of this thing initially. I was going to rate it really low. But both of you have, like, there's a way we could do this where safety is involved, and you actually get, like, to meet a wizard. So
how am I even going to get this thing to come to me without a wizard with me, right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, it'll attack your village, maybe, with bad weather, so you could go looking for it when you get hit by, like, a thunderstorm. You might be nearby.
Nah.
Okay, let's move on to the next one.
Yeah.
Samka. I'm pretty sure that's how you say it. It's pretty much spelled how it's said. The Samka, unlike many of the creatures that we've discussed so far, Samka is literally just purely demonic energy, entity. It's often depicted as a monstrous being, grotesque, terrible, representing the literal embodiment of evil. The exact origins of the name Samka are really actually hard to pin down. Some suggest a connection to the Slavic word for female dog, while others find links to words associated with devil or darkness. Samka are primarily seen as a bringer of misfortune, particularly targeting children and those most vulnerable. So again, illnesses, accidents, unexplained bad luck usually can be pinned, much like on the Strigoi, can also be pinned here on the Samka.
It looks like if the Krampus was a sex criminal.
Oh my God.
Yeah. All right. That's a good way to put it.
Is it?
Is it? I mean,
this man said, that's a good way to put it. Is it?
Look at his ass.
Actually, kind of though. Like the one I'm looking at, it's in Resident Evil, by the way. I don't know if you knew this.
In Resident Evil 8?
Samka. They're in Resident Evil. Good question.
I'm guessing 4 or 8.
Mold infection, so it has to be like the most recent ones.
So probably 8, I would guess.
The mom, Alex, the mom from Resident Evil 7?
Yeah, 7. Lady Dimitrescu.
No, oh no, 8. Never mind. Nope, that's a different one.
That's Lady D.
I was thinking the mom from the house one, not the...
Oh, it's the boss that we fought on the maybe the boss that we fought on the ceiling, or just like the enemies that we fought on the ceiling?
Maybe. But
Years ago, when this game was released? Can barely remember.
Nasty. So long. I don't like these guys. They nasty.
Yeah, well, the way they look, unlike other Romanian creatures, there's no single consistent description of Samka. Depictions vary wildly, but always emphasize its grotesque appearance. Like, it's always just like nasty and fleshy and gross. It may be imagined as like a hideous old woman, a horned beast sometimes, or a shadowy demonic figure. And some legends mention a horrifying dance associated with Samka. It's said that the sight of this dance also drives a person insane or can cause them to inflict harm upon themselves. So these things are just pure dangerous. Like, don't go anywhere near them. If you want to protect yourself from them, religious symbols and prayers are believed to be the most powerful form of defense against Samka. Holy water, crucifixes, and the intervention of a priest could combat its evil influence over you. And various folk remedies exist as well, from hanging garlic at the threshold, very, very typical, a lot of things like this, to uttering specific incantations meant to ward off its presence. And iron, much like Fae, Iron is a common thing to be able to have a protective power against demonic entities like the Samka. Hmm. Samka exists more as like a chilling invocation of like evil and badness rather than a character that's often told in folktales. You know what I mean?
Doesn't really have
like that
character. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. It's more of like a representation of fear as like a control mechanism.
Yeah.
I think like that's like a way I think
like
a lot of
like a nightmare or
yeah.
Or something like that. Like a,
yeah,
like,
some exactly. Not, exactly.
Like the creature, a nightmare, not the notion. Of
yeah, no, exactly. We do have like, there are some examples out there of like some of the curses. Cause there are like curses it puts out there. Again, the most common are someone getting really sick, someone dying, someone actually going mad or crazy. But there's one of the most common ones is a curse that invokes the Samka called Batate Samka. And its English translation is beat you Samka or may Samka strike you down. This Jeez. Is like very simple curse that carries profound power within the context of the folklore.
It's like go to hell.
Yeah. By invoking it, the speaker essentially is wishing like the Samka could bring terrible misfortune. You're just like basically wishing the worst on somebody. Yeah, so it's not used lightly either, apparently, or at least wasn't. I don't know how it is now. But yeah, it's like what you would see people who are extremely pissed off shout at somebody. Hmm. All that known, would you get a drink with a Samka?
No! No, no, F the Samka. The personification, the notion of evil as a thing?
Yeah, but wouldn't you want to know what like the visual representation of the of evil like looks like?
No, this thing sounds like at least with the Strigoi, I know what it is. This thing
you don't.
Sounds terrible. It sounds awful. No,
it
thanks.
Looks like if Tom Petty was the Krampus.
Okay. I was trying to like I wanted, you know, maybe give you didn't even think about it. I tried to like devil over your little shoulder there, but no, there's no convincing you want to trick with the Samka.
Good that's on the fair
because I'm at a 0-2. So.
I'm good on the Samka. Yeah, 0%.
I'm good at the Samka as well. And boys, that brings us to an end already. We're over an hour of our little folklorian cryptid romp.
I had a grand time.
Me too. These are always fun.
These
I always
are great
enjoy them.
Because these ones are like very like primordial to the Western like myth culture.
Yeah. Yes.
These feel like
before they were
unbranded
formed, like,
versions of a bunch of guys that I know very well from like Hellboy, even, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
stuff that's still fucking around. So that's awesome.
And I don't know if I said this before, but like my favorite thing about doing as so many, like over time is like being able to see the similarities or even trace how some of them made their way into other countries and cultures and stuff. And how they all hold the similar story of just
which
like,
is funny.
A lot of it's like danger,
like even like China, right? Like China's huge. Like,
yeah.
Its influence makes sense, like because it influenced a bunch of cultures around it because it's so huge and there's so many people there. But in Europe, there's not really like a mega country at the center of Europe in the same way. And like all the countries are so different from each other, but like so close and geographically close, even though maybe like, you know, separated by barriers that keep them from assimilating into each other completely. But people can travel from one to the other. It's really interesting.
It moves.
It's really a weird place culturally for that reason.
Yeah. I mean, again, like the Samka itself being able to be like not being able to have like a clear origin is like pure evidence of what you're saying. Like the like all being kind of near each other and like there's little bits from little areas that all kind of formed into this.
It's like America.
Don't really know.
It's like
from.
America. Yeah. Europe is like America where there's like a bunch of different cultures all occupying the same space at the same time, but they're all separate. It's really interesting.
I mean, that's true, man. I mean, if you think about it, it's all really America is kind of just like that. But anyway, that's it for us, boys. We're out of here. We're done with the episode already. Shit went flew by. We'll be heading over to patreon.com/JulluminatiPod to do another minisode for you right after this.
Website.
Please head over there and you get ad-free episodes. You get freaking rotten popcorn. If you you get like t-shirts, if you go check it out. Posters from Mel, which are always badass. You did a burlesque theme one with last time, which actually I need to get to Alex because you asked for it and I haven't got it to you. It's fucking great. It's fucking great. So yeah, head over there, check it out. And yeah, and if you've got any stories about any of these like cryptids of your area, drop it on our subreddit, man. I'm always on there like poking around and seeing what people are saying. Some really cool stories over there from cryptid stuff to dreams to ghost hauntings. It's all good.
Vibes.
Yeah, that's it for us. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
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 Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Jilluminati Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by the...
I don't know who they are. There's two.
What?
Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer.
No.
Neo and Trinity.
No.
I don't understand, and I probably never will. Let me just tell you right now that there's two. Leon Kennedy and Claire Redfield.
I'm telling you, I think he literally just looked up famous duos.
Cheech and Chong.
And has just been going through the list ever since.
I'm trying to dig deep. Which one of you is Dick Powell?
Me?
Your name's Jesse Cox!
I want to love you.
Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by Alex and Jesse. Like a shooting star across the sky that's actually a UFO.